Contractors have less than 24 hours to express interest in taking on the multi-million dollar project. In Baghdad, government authorities continue negotiations with Sunni lawmakers that is being described as desperate and intense. The remaining Sunni ministers announced yesterday that they would be pulling out of the cabinet. In Iraq, 6 U.S. soldiers were killed in the past 2 days. 19 American troops have been killed so far this month. In southern Afghanistan today, 75 Taliban militants launched an attack on a coalition base. 20 militants were killed in the frontal attack on Firebase Anaconda. 2 civilian girls and 2 Afghan soldiers were wounded. The British government officially requested that the U.S. release 5 prisoners from the detention facility at Guantanamo Bay. The 5 are not British citizens, but were legally in the U.K. at the time of their arrest. Earlier today, Israel issued a rare emergency security alert urging Israeli tourists to leave all Muslim countries. Israeli security services say there are several concrete threats of immediate terrorist actions targeting Israeli citizens. Testimony ended today, the 52nd day, of terror suspect Jose Padilla's trial. Padilla's attorney called no witnesses or brought forth any evidence. Padilla has been held as an enemy combatant for 3 years on charges of planning a dirty bomb attack on a major U.S. city. In Bisbee, Arizona, a U.S. Border Patrol agent has been ordered to stand trial for the murder of an illegal immigrant. The border guard is accused of shooting the Mexican national in the desert shortly after the farm worker snuck over the border. In Sitka, Alaska, a small plane carrying 4 Canadians crashed yesterday into a residential neighborhood, destroying a home unoccupied at the time. All aboard were killed. In Chicago, the AFL-CIO will host a debate tonight for Democratic presidential candidates. The 90-minute debate starts at 6 o'clock on MSNBC. You're listening to the Quality News Network.
It's not hard to find people in need. They're everywhere. And there's more than one kind of disaster that affects people's lives. There's AIDS and the millions of orphans the disease has left behind. There are teeming refugee camps, the result of war and persecution. Mary Knoll has been reaching out to the world's needy for nearly a century. Mary Knoll is there right now, in 40 countries around the world. And with your help, Mary Knoll will be there tomorrow. Call us at 877-MARY-KNOLL. That's 877-MARY-KNOLL. Or, for more information, go to www.mygiftcounts.org. One world, one mission, Mary Knoll.
The Associated Press reports that more and more U.S. hospitals have begun closing their burn centers. There are now only 127 burn centers in the country, a fact experts say leaves the U.S. unprepared to deal with burn casualties from a major disaster. A heat wave is sweeping much of the country this week, with areas as far north as Maine experiencing extreme temperatures. Heat advisories are in effect, and officials are encouraging residents in hot areas to stay inside. The heat wave is welcomed, though, in Cape Canaveral. NASA officials say the extreme weather will help ensure an on-time launch of the Space Shuttle Endeavour on Wednesday evening. Schoolteacher-turned-astronaut Barbara Morgan received a call from First Lady Barbara Bush, also a former schoolteacher, congratulating her. In southern England, veterinarians have now begun slaughtering pigs and cows after a hoof-and-mouth disease was found on a second farm in the area. The farm's neighbor, a government facility that manufactures vaccine to prevent the disease. The FDA has approved a new type of drug to combat HIV. Taken orally, Pfizer's Selzentry is designed to prevent the virus from entering healthy immune cells. Upon announcement of the regulatory approval of the drug, Pfizer shares rose 2.6%. Light sweet crude is trading at $72.35 a barrel. On Wall Street at this hour, the Dow is up 33, the Nasdaq is up 14, the S&P 500 also up 9 points. There's more on our website at qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Reed Kavner.
And now, from Washington, the Inside Scoop. All the news the government does not want you to hear. Now, here's your host on the Inside Scoop, Mark Levine.
Good afternoon, America. Welcome to the Inside Scoop. Who is spying on us? Well, it's a question that I have raised many, many times on this broadcast. We've often talked about the government's secret warrantless wiretapping program. The Fourth Amendment to the United States Constitution, of course, says that the government can't spy on its citizens. that, in fact, it can't find out what you're doing. You have a right to be secure in your persons and papers and effects, unless, of course, the government gets a warrant. In other words, they have probable cause to believe a crime has been committed, then they go to a neutral magistrate, a neutral judge, and find, get a warrant to specify exactly what it is they're going to search. Other than that, you have a right to privacy. It's as old as the Constitution. It's as old as the Bill of Rights, I should say, but even older, because it goes back to the idea in English law that a man's home is his counsel, is his castle. Well, just last week, rushing off before they go to break, Congress did what the administration was insisting it do. It passed a law basically approving the White House's secret, warrantless, unconstitutional wiretapping program. Now, why did they do this? Democrats have been fomenting for some time, as have I, that this violates the Fourth Amendment. Was this because it's necessary to fight terrorism? Because the director of national intelligence insisted he needed it? Was it all politics? What is going on here? What is the history of warrantless wiretapping in America? Where does it come from? What happened? Why did Congress do what it did? And what's going to happen in the future? I'm going to answer all of those questions and take your phone calls and maybe do it standing on one foot. No, it's a very, very important question, because we've talked about this before in kind of a side point. We talked about Gonzalez and the way that he tried to trick, really, former Attorney General John Ashcroft into signing an executive order to allow this kind of stuff before. We've heard the testimony of James Comey, number two in command, precisely on this aspect. And the question is, why is it that Congress, just a week ago, caved in? Well, as usual, I give you the inside scoop. I will explain to you all the politics and policies and law that's going on. And, of course, I do welcome your calls. That's 877-4-HEAD-ON. But let's go first through and explain what we're talking about here, because one of the nice things about radio is I can give you a full explanation. This isn't, you know, about spin bites, those kinds of things. This all has to do with a 1978 law called the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act. This was a law passed by a Democratic Congress and a Democratic president back in 1978, and it was done to correct the abuses of the past. In the past, Richard Nixon and Lyndon Johnson and others had basically done all kinds of surveillance of all kinds of people. We know, for example, that they had surveillance over Martin Luther King and tried to prove he was a communist. In fact, all they could prove was an extramarital affair, which they certainly used against him, but they couldn't prove that he was trying to violently overthrow the United States. They spied on all kinds of American peace groups. There was the infamous COINTELPRO program that would be of the FBI, but also of people abroad. And the whole purpose of the 1978 Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act was to allow the kind of surveillance that should be allowed, at the same time protect America's Fourth Amendment rights. Well, Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, its acronym is FISA, F-I-S-A. And a whole host of secret courts called FISA courts were set up. It's really basically just one court, the FISA court. And the purpose of the FISA court is to oversee warrants that are done over foreigners in order to justify them. Now, to be clear, one thing FISA made 100% clear is you can't spy on an American citizen without a warrant. Why? Because the Constitution says so. That's why. It's part of the Bill of Rights. And unless you want to get rid of the Fourth Amendment, sorry, people have the right to be secure in their papers, persons, and effects. And one of those things that you have a right to privacy about, of course, is your phone calls, unless they get a warrant and they think you have a crime. But foreigners are not so protected. And so the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act said, look, if you're going to spy on foreigners, not people in the United States, then what you need to do is if you have a foreigner or if you have a foreign agent, FISA said that you can go after someone in the United States as long as they're a foreign agent. They are working for a foreign country. Then what you do is you go to the FISA court and you ask for permission, and then they give you what is in effect a kind of warrant, and spy all you like. Everything's fine. Well, if you go to the FISA court and they seek more information, you have to give more information. but actually they approve 99.99% of the warrants. To give you an example, in 2 years, the last 2 years, how many warrants did the FISA court say no to? Answer, one. How many they say yes to? We don't know. That's classified. I suspect it's in the thousands or tens of thousands. They said no to one warrant in 2 years. So it's not like that we're not getting some kind of surveillance over terrorists. Now, some would say, well, wait a minute. What? Sometimes you got to spy on someone right away. You don't have time to go to a court. The 1978 Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act took care of that. It said if you need to spy on someone right away, spy on someone right away. Just apply within 72 hours, three full days. Apply within three full days to the court, and the court can retroactively approve your spying. This would seem to be very close to the lines of the Fourth Amendment, but everyone agreed, at least back in 1978, that that was fair. Start the spying, apply to the court within 3 days, and then if they approve it, you're fine. The court members, you should know, can be reached at 3 in the morning. They have emergency phone numbers. You can wake them up. You can get one member of the court to justify it if it's the middle of the night. They are available, and they've approved many warrants at 3 in the morning. So what is the problem with the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act? The problem is it allows neutral people, judges, to see who the administration is spying on. And if they want to spy on you and they want to spy on me, if they want to, say, spy on the Democratic headquarters in Watergate, which Richard Nixon thought was okay, sure, he would have been impeached for it, but certainly George Bush would agree it's okay to spy on the Democratic National Committee headquarters. I don't know. It's all classified. But a court can stop you from doing that. Let's say you wanted to get your opponent's tax returns. Let's say you wanted to know whether your political opponent is cheating on his wife. Let's say you wanted to look into the drug convictions of a political opponent. Let's say you looked into the convictions and found out that George Bush had been snorting cocaine and was convicted of it. Well, we can't allow people to let that information out. Privacy is a very powerful thing. And it's something where you want to keep your skeletons in your closet, but you want to know everyone else's skeletons. So let's say you want, oh, what East Germany did, or the Soviet Union did, or China does. So let's say you want to spy on your political opponents. Well, do what Richard Nixon did. Well, the FISA court would say no. It's got to be a foreigner. It's got to be a foreign agent. You have to get permission. For whatever reason, George Bush felt restricted by the FISA law. So most presidents, when they feel they don't like the law or restricted by the law, they come to Congress and they say, hey, Congress, this law needs to be changed. We need to update this law to the modern era. Congress debates, they consider, they pass it or they don't pass it, and the president understands. That would be presidents that like to follow the law or follow the Constitution. Unfortunately, George Bush really wasn't into asking Congress, and why? Well, his chief of staff, I believe it was his chief of staff, it was someone in the domestic policy office, I'll have to get the name for you, but he made it very clear why Congress could not be consulted. They would have said no. And you can't go to Congress to get a change in the law if they would have said no. Then how could he do his limitless spying? How could George Bush create East Germany right here in the United States if Congress was going to tell him no? So what did he do? He simply ignored the law. Another word for that would be he broke the law. He decided the law was in his way, so he said, in effect, the state, it's me. L'état, c'est moi, said King Louis XIV. The state, it's me. I am above the law. I don't have to follow the law. I will ignore the law. And from September 11, 2001, until the disclosure of this provision in December 2005 by the New York Times, that knew about it a year earlier but didn't tell us before the election, until that time, George Bush simply spied on whoever he wanted. You think Richard Nixon did a bad job in Watergate? George Bush could spy on 250 million Americans. 250 million times the crime Richard Nixon did, and he was not at all checked on by anyone. They refused to submit it to the FISA courts. So what happens then? Why do we get to a point where Bush actually has to go to Congress? I'll explain after the break. 877-4-HEAD-ON. Give us a call if you have a question or you have a comment. 877-4-H-E-A-D-O-N, 877-443-2366. We'll be right back after this.
Harry Potter has given us all a unique glimpse at education the way it ought to be. Never once do Harry and his Hogwarts friends talk about skipping class, ducking tough instructors, waiving requirements, or shirking responsibilities. That perspective, be practical, get it the easiest, fastest, cheapest way you can, is what J.K. Rowling terms the Muggle approach to education. We're Concord University, and do we have a deal for you? At Concord, education's different than anywhere else around. There's a reason that Concord students get the best jobs, are sought out by the best medical, graduate, and law schools in the land. It's no wonder that Concord has been cited by U.S. News & World Report and by the Wall Street Journal. Where do I sign up? At Southern West Virginia's version of Track 9 and 3 Quarters. All you have to do is believe, and believe in yourself. Concord University, an education you can put to work. 1-888-384-5249.
If you missed Strictly Confidential last week, you missed Gay Fashion Tips.
So I'm sitting here in my Florida State University t-shirt and my pajama bottoms.
You missed what gay DJs name their dogs.
Disco and Boogie are their names.
You missed Lesbian Bible Study.
And that's my favorite line, too, out of the Bible, like, thou shalt not lie with a man, so I don't, and so what's up with that?
You missed Kiss and Tell.
And this big, tall, handsome Air Force sergeant bent down and kissed me, and I didn't wash my lips for weeks.
You missed The Pursuit of Happiness.
Are you attached, Mom?
Well, see, now this is Strictly Confidential, isn't it?
Tune in Monday through Friday at 9 p.m. Eastern for Strictly Confidential, gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgendered conversation radio, exclusively on the Head On Radio Network. You know you want to. Stand by.
Did you receive an email from the IRS saying you're due a tax refund? If so, don't open it. The IRS does not request personal information by email. Hi, I'm Russell George, Treasury Inspector General for Tax. The IRS and I want to warn you about bogus IRS emails and websites that look real, but are not. These emails are schemes played by crooks who are out to steal your money and identity. Fall victim to it, and you can spend months, even years, cleaning up the mess they've made of your good name and credit record. Help stop these crooks from ripping people off. If you get a suspicious email, forward it to phishing@irs.gov. That's phishing at irs.gov. Or call us at 1-800-366-4484. Again, that's 1-800-366-4484. Thank you.
From Washington, more of the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm giving the history here of how it is that we lost our constitutional rights under the Fourth Amendment. You know, the Constitution says the only way to give up your rights is to amend the Constitution. Well, that's not quite how it happened here, but it's important you know the details, and I'm here to give you the inside scoop. So from September 11th of 2001 to December 2005, the President of the United States illegally violated the Constitution and spied on who knows how many. That's classified. I suspect he spied on all of us. Data mined. We know that he data mined 250 million citizens' phone calls, trillions and trillions of phone calls. Yes, that call to your grandmother, that was there. That call to your mother, that call to your girlfriend, that call to your boyfriend. It's all there, my friend. The president wants to know exactly what laundry detergent you use. And that's in your credit card receipts as well. So they went and they're spying on all of us. Frankly, far better than East Germany ever did. And they did so, and they listened to our phone calls, and they did so without any congressional knowledge. Well, one thing they did do is they did tell the very, very limited number called the Gang of Eight, the majority and minority leader of the House and the Senate, and the majority and minority leader of the House and the Senate Intelligence Committees, and they said, we're doing something to spy on terrorists. And if you question it, we're going to throw you in jail because you can't tell what this classified information is. In fact, Senator Jay Rockefeller of West Virginia, the Democratic head of the Intelligence Committee, was so careful that he had to handwrite his objections to the president. But he couldn't make it public, couldn't represent his citizens in any way because he'd go to jail for disclosing classified information. Well, finally, the New York Times disclosed this classified information. They knew about it in 04, but they told us in December 05. All right, pretty late, but better late than never. And the administration has been seeking for some time to prosecute the person who told of their illegal behavior to the New York Times. It's one thing to take away 300 million Americans' constitutional rights. It's quite another thing to let them know you're doing it. I mean, after all, Big Brother may, in 1984, override his, you know, all the rights of its citizens, but they can't let them know they're doing it. What, did you ever hear the Soviet Union admit that it was spying on its citizens? That's just not done. So the administration, and I just read in the Washington Post a few days ago, is still seeking to prosecute whoever leaked that to the New York Times. But the New York Times told us that our freedoms were in trouble, and only then, did the administration try to get Congress to overturn or at least modify the good old Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act. Now, why were they in such a rush? Well, after December 05, the judges on the FISA court got pretty angry. They said to the administration, look, you have to follow the law, and you haven't given us these materials, and so we're not going to approve your warrants unless you show us that all of them were legally obtained. In other words, we might well approve these. We approve 99%+ of all of them. But if you do it illegally without us knowing about it, we may not approve them later. And a number of judges resigned for that reason. So the administration started taking them to the FISA courts, and the FISA courts said, hello, you're spying on an American network. You can't do that. And the administration said, and this actually is the one reasonable thing the administration may have said, they said, well, look, sometimes someone in England talks to someone in Afghanistan via a network switch that's in Omaha, Nebraska, or more likely New York or Los Angeles. And so when a foreigner talks to a foreigner via an American switch, why can't we check that out? Well, one could think of many reasons why they can't check that out. One reason why you should be able to check that out is because, first of all, how are you going to know? How are you going to know if a foreigner is talking to a foreigner via an American switch unless you listen to all the phone calls on that American switch and determine who are the foreigners and who aren't? I mean, it can't just be the phone numbers. We all know how easy it is to mask different phone numbers. So they said, look, that's what we need to update the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act for. Well, the Democrats had a response. They said, okay, all right. We have gotten together with the Director of Intelligence, the Director of National Intelligence, this new Director of National Intelligence that George Bush was so vitally needed, Mike McConnell. And we've agreed on a very limited measure. We're going to, for 6 months, allow just this foreigners talking to foreigners through American switches. And the Attorney General will be supervised by the FISA court and by the Inspector General of Justice. And the National Intelligence Director, Mike McConnell, said, it's a deal. We'll do it. Bush said, no deal. He didn't want any court supervision, period. He didn't even want the Inspector General supervision. He wanted Attorney General Gonzalez, you remember that purge perjurer, Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez, the guy Bush calls Fredo, his pet dog, the person that will do anything he says, whether it's, who knows, murder, mayhem, doesn't matter. Fredo is an obedient dog. He'll do whatever the president says. He doesn't give a damn about the Constitution. He wants only Fredo to have the right to determine whether something's legal or not. If the Attorney General, the new law says, has a reasonable belief that the targets are outside the United States, that's good enough. Now, if the Attorney General of the United States actually cared about the law, cared about the Constitution, I don't know that I'd mind. If we had an Attorney General that had some respect for the United States of America, instead of this loyal, slavish loyalty to his president, where he would do anything for him, that might be okay. But the reason we have checks and balances in the Constitution is precisely because we're afraid of people who might put their loyalty to the president ahead of their loyalty to the country. That's why we have inspector generals in the Justice Department. That's why we have FISA courts. But the president insisted, despite the fact that an agreement had been made with the Director of National Intelligence, Mitch McConnell, and the Democrats, that it was sufficient just to modify FISA in this small way so we could check foreigners talking to foreigners through American networks. He insisted that wasn't good enough. And when I come back from break, I want to tell you about how and why the Democrats rolled over. Now, I know some of you are on the line. I promise I will get to you. Please hang on. 877-4-HEAD-ON. 877-443-2366. When we come back, the caving of the Democrats and why they did it.
There's one place on the web you can go that's so topical, you can apply it liberally. WD40.com. WDYAD40.com. Claude, Wally, and Doofy are there. They're working hard every day to give you updates in news, politics, and a great sense of humor. Just stop on by and see the boys at WD40.com, a place where you can raise your voice and be heard. WD40.com. Your one-stop shop for all things progressive. It wasn't exactly planes, trains, and automobiles on Head On with Bob Kincaid.
This is what the Bush Administration Justice Department didn't want you to see back in 2001. They took out and they huffed the marker a little bit, and then they went, oh, cool. And they wiped out the name where it says, the plane was chartered either by the Saudi Arabian royalty family or Osama bin Laden. Somebody's got to call up and say, good afternoon. Thank you for calling Ryan International Flights. How may I help you?
Hello. This is Osama bin Laden, and I would like to rent a Boeing 727. Do you have one handy?
Oh, just a moment. Let me check. It's a Mr. bin Laden wants to know if we got a 727. Do we, Harry, do we have a 727?
Yeah, we got a 727 just sitting there on the lot. Going cheap.
There's nothing here. Nothing to look at. Keep moving. Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain, the, you know, the 6-foot-7-inch Arab with the portable dialysis machine and the white robes. Somebody's trying to make me
stay. You know I've got to be moving on. Head On with Bob Kincaid, weeknight, 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern, only on the Head On Radio Network.
From Washington, back to the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. So, why are we suffering from surveillance by our government? Well, Bush administration had done so illegally for about 4 years. But now with a Democratic Congress, they've gotten a rubber stamp. How the heck did that happen? Well, it's really not that hard to understand. One thing you should know is that John Boehner, the head of the Republicans in the House of Representatives, the minority leader, the number one Republican over there, All right? John Boehner disclosed classified information on the news. See, Senator Jay Rockefeller of West Virginia, Nancy Pelosi, all the Democrats that had heard of this terrorist surveillance program, and I don't think they'd heard it in all its details, but they couldn't talk to the press for fear of being put in jail. But the Republican leader can just go on and on and on and on about classified information. Why? Because who prosecutes classified information? The Justice Department and its Attorney General. And we all know the law is very clear. Democrats can't disclose confidential information. The New York Times can't disclose classified information. But Republicans can do it as much as they want. Not just the president, not just the vice president, but heck, congressional Republicans as well. John Boehner let one slip. He let slip that the FISA court had said you can't monitor foreigners talking with Americans because that's American citizens. And you can't monitor them going through an American network. Now, they could have told Congress this, but John Boehner knew he needed the pressure to come from the people, so he just told the people. Remember, the administration is prosecuting the New York Times. They're trying to find out who in the New York Times disclosed the existence of this plan in December 05. But John Boehner pointing out that the court had nixed the plan, no one's going after him. Well, after that, they tried to do this simple fix. They actually agreed on this simple fix with Mitch McConnell. But, unfortunately, the senators, the Democratic senators, the same, by the way, Senate that the Republicans filibuster to prevent children's health care, to prevent a minimum wage, to prevent stopping the war in Iraq, the Democrats apparently don't filibuster this because they were afraid of being seen as weak. So the administration, even though they had a deal with the House Democrats, this limited provision for 6 months that would allow these networks that go through American networks, foreigners talking to foreigners, that would simply allow that to be spied on. The Senate went further, and they gave Attorney General Gonzalez carte blanche, and then the Senate recessed. Nancy Pelosi was in a bind. She was in a real bind. She had two choices. Either she waited the month of August and could have all the Republicans all August long say the Democrats would be responsible for every terrorist attack they could possibly take in the United States and throughout the world. And you know how it is. The Republicans might find a terrorist attack way back in March, but only tell us about it in August. They're very careful with their timing. Or she could approve a measure that she herself said, quote, does violence to the Constitution of the United States. Well, what can I say? The Democrats caved. That seems to be what they do. You had the Republicans all say, hey, if it's good enough for the Republicans, it's good enough for us. And Roy Blunt said, Peter Hoekstra said, that you have to give the intelligence community that what they need, because otherwise we're at heightened risk. You know, they did the fear card. They do what they did in the Patriot Act. And I was there. I remember that one. You can ask me about that one. They did what they did with military commissions. They said, if there's an attack, it's the Democrats' fault. You have to let us have unlimited powers over American citizens. If you don't give us a dictatorship, well, then it's your fault that we're in trouble. Hitler made a similar argument in Germany in the 1930s when he said, in effect, if you don't give me emergency powers, then we'll never be able to protect ourselves from those evildoers that burned down the Reichstag, the German parliament. Years later, of course, it was determined that Hitler himself had ordered the Reichstag to be burned. So the German people gave him emergency dictatorial powers in what was a democracy, the Weimar democracy. They gave him dictatorial powers to protect themselves from someone who turned out to be him. Well, now Bush has asked for similar powers. The one thing the Democrats got, and you got to give them credit for, and it's what makes them different from Republicans, is they got a 6-month provision. In other words, 6 months from now, this provision expires, and we go back to the old way. Rush Holt, I think, said it best. He said, you can't suspend the Constitution for even 6 months. Legislation should not be passed in response to fear-mongering. But what am I going to say? What am I going to say? Rahm Emanuel said we're not going to wait 6 months, but they're going to come up and change it again, and what are they going to do? The president's going to veto it. So I'm afraid we will have a constitution suspended for 6 months. To their credit, the great majority of Democrats voted against the bill that they allowed to come to the floor. 181 Democrats voted against it. Two Republicans voted against it. 41 Democrats voted for it. 186 Republicans voted for it. So you had 99% of Republicans vote for it, and about 80% or so of Democrats vote against it. But, well, it's law. And it's law for the same reason everything else is law, because the Republicans have a better spin machine. Because not enough people support the Head-On Radio Network and other progressive radio organizations. And Republicans know that with Rush Limbaugh and all the others, they could make it seem like it was Democrats' fault that the Republic was not being protected. When in effect, the Democrats had agreed with the director of the National Intelligence on a very limited fix. And in fact, Bush, if there was a problem with FISA, could have brought it to Congress's attention in 02 or 03 or 04 or 05 or 06. But they knew they'd be blamed. And now this new law basically can spy on anyone. All they have to do is say it concerns Al-Qaeda in some way. So if Mark Levin or Bob Kincaid goes on radio and talks about Al-Qaeda, does that concern Al-Qaeda? I don't know, maybe. Congress has updated the FISA law 8 times since September 11th, and no one ever complained since then. But you know, ever since the public knows what's going on, that's when they go to Congress, and that's when they use more fear-mongering to get the laws through. 877-4-HEAD-ON. Let me go to Dave. He's been holding on for a while. Dave, welcome to the Inside Scoop.
Wow, and I'm still awake. But if we have a government in place right now that is as criminal, as deceitful, as fascist, as ill-motivated to act in the interest of the people, that's what they need to be monitoring, is anybody who would see through that and expose them. And that's why they need all these added protections. They're going to try to rip the country off crazy, like crazy, and they don't us to see through what they're doing. And so they need these kind of things. They need to monitor a Mark Levin and a Dave Gunn.
I'll tell you, there's nothing they hate more than the Constitution of the United States. There is nothing George Bush and Dick Cheney hate more than the Constitution of the United States. How dare the Constitution claim that we the people are in charge? How dare the Constitution say that we the people have rights not to be searched by the government, that we have rights to privacy, that we have rights to an attorney, we have rights, you can't just throw us in jail, you have to give us a reason in trial. They hate the Constitution, frankly. I mean, after all, what stops us from becoming the Soviet Union or East Germany? Only the Constitution. And so there's no reason that, obviously they hate it and they want to destroy it, and I expect that from them. But what bothers me is that the Democratic Party fears so much that they'll be blamed for any kind of attack that they're caving in. So they end up voting against these bills, but allowing them to come to the floor, and they allow them to come to the floor because, let's face it, at the end of the day, the corporate-owned media, the 6 major media corporations that control 90% of our media, are all in the pocket in some way of either Republicans, like Roger Ailes, the former Republican National Committee chairman who runs the Fox News propaganda channel, or Rupert Murdoch, the Australian multi-billionaire, or Richard Mellon-Scaife, who did the Arkansas Project against Bill Clinton, or GE, or Disney, or any of the corporate entities that care so much about rich CEOs, but really only want working people to, to watch their programs. And, at the end of the day, we've got to ask ourselves, why isn't the Democratic Party sponsoring alternative media? Do they really think that you can have a free and independent press when one side has their hands on the scale, screaming fear, 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 and all we have is the memory of Franklin Delano Roosevelt saying we have nothing to fear but fear itself? It's an unfair battle. And I'd like to thank Dave that you and me and Bob and the Head on Radio Network, we're doing our best to fight this battle, but it's very much heavily weighed against us.
You know, I heard on this particular one that it was not supposed to be made known to the public. It was supposed to be accomplished secretly in the dark at night, and they actually have people investigating to find out who leaked it. I don't know if that's accurate, but if it is, it's so outrageous.
Well, let's be clear. They did do this in the dark of night. They did do this very soon after September 11th. We went 4 years and 3 months. 4 years and 3 months before anyone exposed that they were spying on us. And that's December 2005. And the administration claims that they're not really spying on us. They claim that all they're doing is monitoring our phone calls, you know, finding out who we call, not actually listening to the phone calls, and that the only ones they're listening to are those with foreigners. But when we ask for details of the program, we get obstruction and failure to obey subpoenas and perjury by Gonzalez. And so, you know, there's every reason to believe they're lying to us. Now, this particular bill was public, and it was made public. But the administration does what they always do. They wait to the very last minute, right before our congressional recess. And yes, it is sad that you have a Congress that's more interested in recess than in protecting the American people. And right before recess, they spring it on Congress. If you don't do this right now, then you'll be blamed for all future terrorist attacks. And really, I don't blame Nancy Pelosi. I blame the senators because they caved in first. I mean, I blame Pelosi too, but I blame her less. The senators caved in first. And here the Republican senators had filibustered us getting out of the war in Iraq. They filibustered children's health care. They filibustered, virtually everything, the minimum wage even. And the Democrats, they had to roll over on this one? No, they didn't. They need some backbone. And
We need to learn the names of every one of those Democrats, senators and congressmen that voted for this, make their districts aware so we can thank them personally for this.
Well, I think that's a great idea. I think that's a great idea, and I'll be happy to read off a list after the break. Folks, if you want to call in and comment, here's your chance to do so. 877-4-HEAD-ON, 877-443-2366. Do you think you're being spied on? We'll be right back after this.
Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got to go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Huh?
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
HeadOnRadioNetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to the horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
Recently on the Guy James Show on the Head On Radio Network.
If you have tuned into this program by mistake right now, and you are a Republican, a right-wing Republican specifically, before this program is over, I do want to warn you, you're going to think that I'm the devil. You're going to think I've got horns and a red cape because I hate the Bush administration and everything they stand for. So be warned right away, okay? You're all warned right now that that's where we're coming from today.
Don't miss Guy James, weekdays, 3 to 5 Eastern Time on the Head On Radio Network.
From Washington, back to the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. You know, it's times like these that I wish I were still working in Congress, I have to admit. I wish I were still there. I wish I were still on the House Judiciary Committee, or better yet, on the Senate Judiciary Committee. Because sometimes, and it's silly, but legislation is like a chess game. It's a game. You know the rules. You know the levers. They're very complex. But you can manipulate someone into checkmate. A majority of the House passed the Democratic bill, the bill with very limited expansion of FISA, with a lot of watch, with court oversight. But they didn't have the two-thirds votes they needed to do it at the last minute. So it failed. In the Senate, they required 60 votes, and they succeeded. It's interesting when you compare the differences between the two bills, and you listen to the rhetoric. The Senate Republican leader said, quote, Al-Qaeda is not going on vacation this month, and we can't either until we know we've done our duty to the American people. All right, Mitch McConnell, then keep the damn Senate in session. Can you imagine? The Democrat leader said, you know what, senators? You lose your vacation. You lose your vacation until we do it right. Oh, my God. There would be, talk about terrorism. I think Mitch McConnell would be ready to throw a Molotov cocktail into the Congress. Take my vacation. How else will I get my billions of dollars in bribes I get? Take a vacation. So they said Al-Qaeda's not taking a vacation. And even though the Democratic bill got a majority in the House, wasn't good enough. But the Republican bill only required a majority. Why is that? It's because someone doesn't know how to play chess. Let's look at the difference between these two bills. It's important for you to understand the difference. Okay? Democrats said that we can look in on foreign suspects, but they said the FISA court has to review the eavesdropping process. In other words, court oversight. In other words, checks and balances. That's how it works, my friend. And now, what do we get? We get FISA court review within not 10 days, as the Democrats wanted. 3 days was the original bill. Democrats wanted it in 10 days. But 120 days, 4 months. And now the Democrats, they did get a little bit. Let's talk about what they did get. They did say it expires in 6 months. As Rush Holt says, you can't suspend the Constitution for 6 months. But hey, 6 months is better than, well, the Republican plan, which is suspended indefinitely. They do get the Director of National Intelligence, Mike McConnell, has to approve the plan. That's something, I guess. They don't have the Inspector General there. What is it about this? What is it about the fact that the Democrats will not play hardball the way the Republicans will? I mean, here it is. I've just been praising them. They forced them to stay through the night on the filibuster on Iraq. But when Democrats filibuster Republicans, Republicans respond by saying, filibusters are illegal. Remember the nuclear option? If you dare try to stop President Bush from putting in whatever Supreme Court justice he wants, we will ban all rules in the Senate. We'll blow up the Senate in a metaphorical way. We'll use the nuclear option. And the Democrats back down. But now when the Republicans filibuster, you ever hear Democrats talk about a nuclear option? Nah. How come the Democrats don't say to George Bush, if an American dies in a terrorist attack, Mr. President, it's your fault. You pulled the trigger. You murdered him. when you decided to leave Osama bin Laden alone and go after Iraq. We could make the same argument. Heck, Barack Obama said, and I think he was right, that if we have actionable intelligence to show that Osama bin Laden is on a certain place at a certain day in Pakistan, we should bomb it. Notwithstanding what Musharraf says or does. After all, it's self-defense. Osama bin Laden killed 3,000 Americans. We have the right to kill him no matter what country he's in. Republicans said, no, that's irresponsible. No, we have to fight Osama bin Laden by ensuring that U.S. oil companies have access in Iraq and permanent military bases. Why didn't Barack Obama turn around and say, all right, next American killed by terrorists, we'll make sure to lay their bloody corpse at your door, Mr. President. We don't say those things, but the Republicans do. When Hillary Clinton said, Pentagon, do you even have a plan for withdrawal? They said, Ms. Clinton, to even request that we have a contingent plan for withdrawal is equivalent to telling the terrorists they've won. You, wife of Bill Clinton, you, Senator Clinton, you, presidential nominee, probably for the Democratic Party, you are anti-American. They said that to her. But when the President of the United States decides to let our greatest enemy go at Tora Bora and live unmolested in Pakistan, we don't ever charge them with murder. Why did the Democrats cave? They caved because we are reasonable and they are not. They caved because the public is conditioned to believe that the Republicans are strong on defense. The same Republicans that allowed our troops to go to Iraq without body armor. The same Republicans that allowed troops who weren't rested and weren't ready and were inexperienced and were not good prison guards to go to Abu Ghraib. The same Republican Party that's taking people away from the Louisiana shores of the National Guard and putting them in Iraq. And yet Democrats, it's suggested, are weak on defense. Time that we use rhetoric, perhaps. Some of that strong rhetoric. 877-443-2366. Jennifer, welcome to the Inside Scoop.
Hi there.
Welcome.
I think there's been five on. Hello?
Excuse me? Yes, you're on the air.
I think I've been spied on.
Who has been spied on?
I have been spied on.
Oh, you have been spied on. Tell me how you've been spied on.
I have been, yes. I'm pretty sure of that. Because, this is the second time this has happened, that I come home from work and my computer has been cleaned of all anti-Bush sites. And I think the reason is because I'm listed as a Code Pink contact. And you know how much the feds love Code Pink.
I'll tell you, Jennifer, and I don't know why it is, and I don't want to make a suggestion, but your sound quality is very bad.
I can barely hear you.
Yeah, I don't know whether it's your phone or what. Maybe, tell you what, why don't you try to call back and let's see if you can get on a better phone line, because I want to hear your story.
Okay.
All right, you got to hurry, though, because we don't have much time. Yeah, look, I don't know who's being spied on. You know, it's hard to know. It's all classified. I did a show on my television show a few days back, and a Republican was arguing, there's not one documented case of an American being spied on, and I said to him, how are we supposed to get the documents? Well, Congress should investigate. I said, Congress is investigating. Do you remember? Gonzalez refuses to answer. The subpoenas aren't being answered. Harriet Myers, Karl Rove, refused to show up. How are we supposed to document when they attack our civil liberties if they won't give us any information? It's a real problem. I'll tell you this, though. I don't want to leave on this dark cloud. Let's look at the silver lining. It is only 6 months. And we have to give the Democrats the backbone they need to not make it another 6 months, to not make it a year. We have to let this thing expire because we can't know what they're doing. But I'll tell you this, if we learn anything from the U.S. prosecutor scandal, we know what they're trying to do. They're trying to steal American elections. Look at what happened in Missouri. In Missouri, you had a prosecutor who was ordered by Karl Rove and the Justice Department. We're not clear because Karl Rove won't give us the emails, but it's pretty clear from all the other sources that Karl Rove said to him, go out there and put in prison those liberal groups who are daring to register blacks to vote. We won't have blacks vote in this country. What do you think we are, America? And he said, the conservative Republican, U.S. prosecutor in Missouri, appointed by George W. Bush, said, no, there's no evidence they've done anything wrong. I can't prosecute innocent people, Carl. Sorry. And so he was fired. And Bradley Schlossman was put in his place. And Bradley Schlossman proceeded to prosecute innocent people, despite the fact that the Justice Department had a regulation, which makes a lot of sense, which says that virtually never is it appropriate to go after someone criminally right before an election if it has to do with election stuff, because it influences the election. Well, he did. He brought a case so weak that the judge got upset and threw it out. But you know what? He couldn't change the election. Claire McCaskill still beat Jim Talent by the smallest of margins in Missouri. In other words, my friends, we haven't lost this country yet. Increasingly, as in California, heck, you even heard Dave praise the Secretary of State. Increasingly, we are having paper records. Increasingly, our votes are being counted. Increasingly, people are allowed to choose their government. Increasingly, America is becoming the great democracy it once was, where we have rule by the people, of the people, and for the people. Abraham Lincoln said it in the Gettysburg Address. Will our nation long endure? Will it be the government by the people, of the people, for the people shall not perish from this earth? There is no question that this government wants democracy to perish. They hate elections. There's a reason why they insist on the right to commit fraud. There's a reason why they insist that they use the Justice Department to prosecute people who are allowing people to vote. But right now, they haven't taken over the system yet. They don't have control just yet. And that's why we've got to push our party, the Democratic Party, which for all its faults is far better than the Republicans, to stand up for the principles that they themselves admit they have. And if people say, well, they're going to blame us. They're going to blame us if there's a terrorist attack, which is what they say in closed doors. You say, then why don't you finance a press, a media, just like the Republicans do, that blames the Republicans for all the evils in the world? Well, but that's not honest. Well, no, it's not. But what can I say? When you go boxing and someone hits you below the belt and you only hit above the waist, I'm afraid you're going to lose the fight. We need to expose the dirty tricks the Republicans are doing. And if we can't do that, at least play on an even playing field. And that's the sorry state of politics, at least until we can get a Democratic president of the United States. That's it for the Inside Scoop. This is Mark Levine, signing off.
This is the Quality News Network. In southern Afghanistan, 75 Taliban militants launched a brazen attack on a coalition base. 20 militants were killed in what coalition forces say was a rare frontal attack on Firebase Anaconda. Two civilian girls and two Afghan soldiers were wounded. In Iraq, four more U.S. soldiers were killed in the Diyala province, where troops have launched a summer campaign to close off staging grounds used by roadside bombers. 21 American troops have been killed so far this month. In Baghdad, government authorities continue what are being called intense negotiations with Sunni lawmakers, even as the unity government is crumbling. The last of the Sunni ministers who had been taking part announced yesterday that they would be pulling out of the cabinet. Only 50% of that cabinet remains. The British government officially requested that the U.S. release five prisoners from the detention facility at Guantanamo Bay, Cuba. The five are not British citizens, but were legally in the U.K. at the time of their arrest. Pakistan's President General Pervez Musharraf told a visiting U.S. senator that talk of unilateral American military strikes against al-Qaeda in his country are not helpful in the war on terrorism. In recent days, senior U.S. officials and presidential hopefuls talked about carrying out strikes within Pakistan. Earlier today, Israel issued a rare emergency security alert, urging Israeli tourists to leave all Muslim countries. Israeli security services say there are several concrete threats of immediate terrorist actions targeting Israeli citizens. Testimony ended today, the 52nd day of terror suspect Jose Padilla's trial. Padilla's attorney called no witnesses or brought forth any evidence. Padilla has been held as an enemy combatant for 3 years on charges of planning a dirty bomb attack on a major U.S. city. In Utah, rescuers have bulldozed an area near a mine collapse so they can set up